for the word of God. How are you? Well, it's great to minister to you once again this morning. We've got to speak on reigniting the call. In the calendar, we're still between Passover and Ascension, and this story is found in John chapter 21. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21, really, this is when Peter is recommissioned and reignited for the call that awaits him. But the background of this story with Peter, you need to ken how he originally got called. He was just a fisherman in a fishing boat. And Jesus came and says to him, you will no longer fish for fish. You've got to be a fisher of men. And 3 years passed, or training or equipping, and 3 years passed and Jesus had been crucified, and then we pick up they were still fishing for fish. And I'll just read it, John chapter 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat and they caught nothing all night. Great disappointment if you're a fisherman that catches nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Us brochers should be used to these terms, shouldn't we? A haul. They hauled in a net. They got a good haul. Then the disciple Jesus loved, which we ken was John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. Listen to this. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooked over a charcoal fire and some bread. And Jesus already had all prepared for them. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. 153 large fish. And yet the net hadn't torn. His call was reignited. The call that Jesus Christ placed on his life, on Peter's life, was reignited. Fuzz in the back row that I can pick on. Fuzz in the sound is, John, come and stand with me, John. Let's hear it for John. Looking nervous, John. So you should be. See this lad, John? He just left the comfort of the sound desk. The good lad, John. But there's a big difference between getting a call and answering the call, isn't there? And as I put the call out, I bet John was thinking, fit is he wanting me for? He was hoping I picked Aaron, exactly. He was hoping I picked somebody else. And you're sitting there laughing, and you're just laughing, you're glad I didn't pick you. Because as a call goes forth to leave something behind, your heart starts pumping and you start getting nervous. You start thinking, a bit vulnerable, I'm leaving the safety of my seat. How would you feel if I says to you, come and stand here beside my own stage? I'd rather sit in the comfort in my seat. You can sit, dude, no, Johnny, did a good job. Well, let me explain. But as the call goes forth, he had to respond. And he had to respond by leaving comfort, leaving some ideas of what I was going to do. He had no idea that I was going to ask him to come forth. And like for like, when Jesus called Peter for the boat, imagine how he felt leaving the safety, leaving the comfort of a fishing boat and a fishing fleet and catching fish. And as Jesus says, come follow me. I'm going to change you and make you a fisher, a man instead of a fisher of fish. If I thought that his heart would have been racing ever so slightly. If I think that the ideas would have flowed through his mind. How's this going to go? I understand my life just now. It's jumping in a boat. It's going to catch some fish. It's coming back. He's probably reasonably wealthy. How's this going to go following him and following this man, Jesus Christ? But there's a difference between being called and responding. Because John could have just sat there and says, I don't care how loud you shout. What was it said a few weeks ago about the master's voice? We dogs, it was Eddie. Listening to the master's voice, responding to the master's voice. I just did that to give you a picture of how it is to follow Jesus. To leave your life behind. And we've got this comfortable Jesus that, oh, I just need to invite him into your heart. And just do what you like. You know, be okay. Because you're on a one-way ticket to heaven regardless of following Jesus. But God's looking for a response. And the response is to follow. The response is to leave things behind. The response is to change our mind about God. The response is to repent of behavior that goes against the holy God. The response is to follow him. And where it comes our lifestyle, sometimes I feel a bit vulnerable. And God comes, not just to comfort you and leave you as you are. He comes to disrupt, to destroy your ideas of God that are unbiblical. So you might follow him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Peter went, and you've got to give him credit, haven't you? That he did take that leap of faith. And Jesus says, all you need to do is follow me, and I will mark you into a fisher of men. And Christ's call is for us is the same, is that if we will follow him, he will mark us into whatever he wants us to be. Whether it be a pastor, a preacher, a fisher of men, whether it be to serve your brothers and sisters with all your heart, whether it be to preach a sermon, whether it be lay hands on the sick and see them recover, whether it be through words of knowledge or wisdom that God requires us to follow Jesus, and in following him, he marks us into something that's unlike what we have ever came for before. But this is Peter. 3 years with Jesus. 3 years looking at Jesus walk on water, feed the poor miraculously, call Lazarus for the dead. 3 years and he's seen him die on that cross for our sin and for our shame. But even after all that education, 3 years, at that point, people, was he a fisher of men? Or was he still a fisher of fish? Did Jesus mark him into a fisher of men at that point, or was he still a fisher of fish? Like, just wanted to catch fish. Well, what did he do? He'd encountered the risen Lord, but there was still this feeling of his destiny, his calling, hadn't been fulfilled. And it's not enough for us just to feel the presence of God and to feel that goosebumps and worship and feel the wind and feel the presence. It's up to us to answer the call to follow him so he can mark us something. We ken that he was still a fisher of fish. How do we ken that? Because he sat with his disciples, and in verse 3, if it was his grand idea, he never says, I'm going to evangelize the world. He never says, I'm going to preach a sermon. He never says, let's get ourselves together, our disciples, and let's go out and seek to do good and move in signs and wonders and miracles. He said these words, I'm going fishing. Jesus says, I'm going to mark you into fisher of men. You got to see souls saved. With Peter and John 21, even after the resurrection, after encountering the presence of the resurrected Lord, I'm going fishing. If we could speak to Peter at that point, what would you say? Peter, Jesus has got a destiny, a calling upon your life to evangelize. He's got a calling upon your life to fish for men and women and young people and old people and the elderly for the kingdom of God. Why you got to go back? Why you got to go back fishing for fish when you could be fishing for the kingdom of God? But yet there is comfort when things have nae went our way, when we feel this loss of destiny and call, there's comfort and going back to what we already know. Going back to the security of the boat, going back to the security of the nets. It was interesting that Stanley, if he was here last week, what did he preach? Go on with God. Move forward with God and his motion, his plan for your life. And here's Peter saying, I'm going back fishing. Back to the boats. That is no different for the drug addict that would say, and I feel this call upon my life to go forward. And I'm back to the dealer. It's no different for the alcoholic. They even being saved and cleaned up and washed up and in the right mind and felt the presence of Jesus in meetings and prayer meetings and worship settings would find themselves saying, I'm going back to the pub. I'm going back to the bottle. I'm back to the Buckfast. Back to the White Lightning cider. It's no different for the gambler who's been set free for gambling, saying, I'm going back to Ladbrokes. Back to Coral. I'm back to see if I can win again because the sense of calling is near there with me. And they are the easy targets to speak about. Them that publicly live lifestyles of addiction. The Israelites wanted back to Egypt. Going back, going back, going back. I'll just go back. No different for the gossiper saying, I'm just got to go back and gossip again. See, it's easy to speak about addiction and gamblers and alcoholics. But no one of them, I would say, causes disunity amongst the brethren. None of them have pioneered a church split. They've got their own problems and it's very public. If I about the sins that nobody really speaks about, gossip, slander, rejecting spiritual authority. And many people have been set free and God wants you to go on for there and a new life, and there's a tendency or maybe just go back to that. Ah, Lord, God's got a call upon your life on newness for love and harmony. Unity, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. A lifestyle of freedom, of brilliance, of magnitude. But here he was, Peter, and back fishing. And it's amazing that he went back fishing. You could just imagine him. Right, lads, I'm a fisherman, I'm a skipper of a boat. Some of you have been skippers. We're skipping our boat, right, lads? I'm not really feeling this calling to go fish for men. Let's go back to the fishing. They say they fished all night and never caught a thing. How frustrating would that be? How frustrating a feeling would it be to be a fisherman, a skipper, that fished all night and caught no fish, no one. Last year, I teed up fishing. Not for a living, just as a hobby. Started to relive some of my younger days. Used to fish off a pier and you'd reel them in, you'd get a good feeling. So I thought, I'm going to pass this experience on to my son. So we're going a couple of trip rods for nickel and dime. Bought the weights and the flies and went out to St. Haven, Dean Jacob. I'm not an expert fisherman. I just couldn't catch a thing. Standing there an hour, Jacob getting bored. I was like, well, just keep trying, Jacob. We'll maybe catch something. I used to just, let's cast again. Let's cast further. And I went and I had gotten worms for bait. I didn't even care if that's maybe some of my unions could help me. I'm maybe using the wrong thing. I got the fairy liquid out. The worms come up. You put them in there. Tubby. A tubby of worms. And just, 3 hours later, Jacob's, he's in amongst boats and nothing new. He's in amongst the seaweed. He's just getting frustrated. And I'm getting frustrated. We did 3 visits. I caught 1 podley in 3 visits. Oh, I prayed for a miraculous catch just to keep him happy. You want any idea how frustrating it would be for a skipper or a boat to get his mates on a boat, cast off, and they catch one thing all night? Nay, one thing. Nay, a fish to be seen. I'm not a fisherman, but these people are supposed to be good at it. And all the time, Jesus is on the shore. And you can almost hear the life lesson. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you're not catching a single thing. In your all life. Without me, going back's only disappointment. I love this in verse 4. Because Jesus turns up in the midst of their disappointment. I think Jesus cares that they're struggling. And he says, fellas, have you caught any fish yet? He's saying, how's that working for you, doing life without me, without fulfilling your call? Like a fisherman that's nae catching on a fish. You go back to your old life, Jesus would say, how is that working out for you? How's it going back in the pub? You keep visiting that woman you're not supposed to visit. How's that working out for you? You're going back. You're going back to the bottle. You're going back. A lifestyle that I've saved you from. And he comes up and says to the disciples, how's that working out for you? Going back to the sea. Jesus says upon us that he's called for ministry and life and fullness and freedom. He says to every one of us that tend to go back, how is it really working for you? We've got this thing and no, how's it going for you? How's that working out? And Jesus that cares our hearts and motives and wears them up, how's it going for you? And Peter that is casting out his nets and he's looking for some purpose and he's trying to reel it in and it's empty and he's looking for some substance and he puts out his net for some substance, he reels it in. And it's empty. He can't get any joy in his life. And Peter puts out his net for some joy, because if you get a big catch of fish as a fisherman, it brings a smile to your face, and he reels it out. And you take it in, and there's emptiness. And here's Peter looking for some fulfillment, looking for his calling, looking to be happy again, looking to be satisfied. And every time he casts out and he takes it in, emptiness. As we examine our lives and fit, we cast out and we look for joy in different things, and we reel it in, and we get emptiness. We look for peace in the wrong places. We cast our nets out and we reel it in. We think it was going to be in a pile. We've got to find some peace in a pile. We cast it out, we reel it in, and it's just emptiness. We thought this relationship would work. And we cast out our nets and think, well, surely this will find fulfillment in this relationship. Like the woman at the well. We have 6 previous husbands and we reel it in. And we find it's just emptiness. But we need to see the heart of Jesus. Because he's got a breakfast already waiting for them on the shore. And we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And Peter and his mates were trying to catch some raw fish. Uncooked fish. And fitted Jesus' hair waiting for him on the seashore. Cooked fish. And some bread. Verse 9. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooked over a charcoal fire. And some bread. Jesus has already got and prepared for you are looking for. And some more. They were looking for fish out at sea. And Jesus had cooked fish. He was there with his fish supper. I love a fish supper. Do you like a fish supper? That's good chippy. When 18 hours pastor here, we did a thing as leaders. First thing we would do when we met, Paul, you want to answer that? The first thing we would do, fish supper. It was just so I could start looking forward to leaders' meetings. So I came for a fact that David, you like a fish supper. And Chris and Charlie likes a fish supper, and Paul Ritchie likes a fish supper, and I too like a fish supper. My thinking was, if we cannot eat in fellowship together, there's pointless planning church life together. But if we can sit and eat prepared fish suppers, and what a good flow to go in and start planning things as leaders of the church. There's an overflow of fellowship. But the good thing is about the fish suppers that we all ordered, Big Lover and Co, Mildred. Shameful. Promotion, yeah. It was somebody already caught it. And somebody already made it. I just had to sit and eat it. I just had to go and get the bag full of fish suppers. Sit down with them and eat it. And I would rather do that than jumping in a boat and trying to catch some. Because if I was to rely on my own strength, we would have tried to share a podly. In fact, I probably would have eaten it before I got into the room. You see, if we try and find in our own strength and rawness, Jesus has already got prepared in some mare. See, wasn't it just a fish supper he had loaf as well? just this wonderful picture of Jesus sent to the people that was backsliding and turning their back on calling. How's it going, lads? I've got a fish up here if you want it. How's that all life working out for you back at the boats? Peter, you're supposed to be a fisher of men. You're trying to catch some fish and you've no caught one thing all night. And Jesus will let us fail. So we realize we can't do stuff on our own strength. Yet all the while he walks with us and says, I've got something prepared for you. If you will just leave the boat and sit with me. That joy you're looking for, Jesus already got it prepared. And some more. You will find more joy in Jesus than you will in a bottle. And you cast your nets out to relationships. Wherever you're trying to find a relationship, Jesus said, I've got the love that you are trying to find in a partner. I've got prepared for you in somewhere. I'll try this side. the dodgy dealings. The gambling. The gossip. The ounce of peace. We are trying again for agreement with people. He said, I've already got it all prepared for you. And somewhere. The destiny, the calling, the dreams, the vision, the power, the love, the joy, the peace, the self-control, the kindness. Everything that you need for life and godliness and holiness and righteousness. Jesus says, I've got all for you. And somewhere. You're not going to have to fish. When you're in strength, another day, another moment, another hour, another second in your life. If you just come and eat with me. And Peter's reaction as he smelt the fish supper. At one time, Peter was only interested in walking in water towards Jesus. And Peter smells a fish supper, recognizes his own inability and lack of strength. And he jumps out the boat and starts swimming. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to him. I'm smelling that he has prepared something greater for me than I can ever catch on my own. And Jesus has got a call upon your life and is greater than you can ever imagine if you would only leap for the boat or for you have decided is your destiny. If you would just leap for the boat, if ever you have already decided is your way in life, and you've got arm up, dude, saying, this is how I'll live, this is how I'll die, and this is how I'll enjoy it. If you will just leap for that into God's ocean, towards no idea, no theory or a theology, towards Jesus Christ. To reignite the calling, to reignite our heart for missions, to reignite the movement of the Holy Spirit upon your life. But at that point, is Peter, a fisher of fish, or is he becoming a fisher of men? I think it's symbolic that he just left that all behind again. He's near one near before the Lord yet, but in his mind he's changing. His mind is realizing his own weakness, his own lack of strength, and he's going for Jesus Christ. The only thing that will reignite your heart for missions, for calling and for destiny, is a pursuit of Jesus Christ. We didn't pursue the call. As John illustrated, we didn't pursue the call, we pursue the caller. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus restores him. And Jesus reignites his calling. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? And on that wonderful day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, Peter, previously a fisher of fish, stood up. Not being the disciple that says, let's go fishing again, but being the apostle that stood up and says, let's go preaching. He stood up under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he cast the net out. It says when he caught a fish, that was 153 fish that he caught that day. He stood up and he cast a net for the kingdom out. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he became a fisherman. And as he preached, he started to reel him in. Here comes one. Here comes two. Here comes 20. Here comes 50 into the kingdom. Here comes 100 souls saved. No emotional responses. No somebody just inviting their hearts into Jesus and then walking away. 50 swept out of the. Oh, here's 100. Hallelujah. He's a fisherman. He caught 153 fish the day before. And then, oh, here comes 153 men into the kingdom repenting of their sin, willing to be baptized. And he put the net out. Oh, here's 200. Hallelujah. Oh, the call of God will go far beyond. Whatever you hope, dream, imagine, or believe, he can do in you, through you, and for you. 300, 400, 500, going higher. Responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I just need to put his net out again, further. Whoosh. 750,000. If it stopped there, I would be delighted. 1,500. Going once, going twice, not on your Nelly. 2,000 men shouting out, what must I do to be saved? 2,500, 2,750. And then he finishes a sermon. And as he's been preaching, God's been reeling him in. Whoosh, saved for eternal hell. Saved for eternal hell. Saved for eternal hell. Saved, saved, saved. 3,000 men were saved. Peter was now under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling his calling. And Jesus said, I'll make you a fisher of men. And then we see the fulfillment. 3,000 men gave their hearts to Jesus, women and kids as well. Baptized, saved forevermore. But came through a man that calling got reignited. Became full of the Holy Spirit. Preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was to fulfill the calling upon his life and invite the worship band up. What a difference it makes being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with Christ. Made all the difference in Peter's life. And only a week or two previous, he wrote himself off and says, I'm gone back. What about you this morning? Have you wrote yourself off? Have you decided that going back is more secure and gone forward? Have you wrought yourself off? Say, well, I'll just come and spectate in this thing called Christian life. I'll pick a pew every week. I'll just come and sit. And that'll be my participation in the Christian life. And yet God says, I am calling you. I've put a call in your life that is greater than filling a pew. That is greater than just simply putting money in your offering. That is greater than just raising your hands in worship. I've put a calling upon your life that might look insecure, that might look like you're leaving the safety or fit you know, but it's the most exciting, fun-filled, destiny-filling journey you could ever go on is to follow Jesus Christ. And you've maybe heard us call a million times, but the power is nae in hearing a call. The power is then leaving the sound desk and answering the call. You've maybe written yourself off, and other people have maybe written you off. He says, he will always be like that. He'll never change. He'll always just go back to fit. He knows. And yet Jesus says, come, and I will make you something or substance and fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. And the difference is answering the call and getting filled by Jesus. Let's stand in his presence. As we worship, I'm simply going to ask if people want to respond. It's easy to say, just respond in your heart. But I'm going to ask that your feet would follow. And you would come to the front and respond. And there's power in you moving forward by faith to the front. As it's saying, I'm leaving my life of religion. In the past, I'm leaving. I've never gone back fishing. I've been looking in the wrong places for hope. I'm looking in the wrong places for joy. I'm looking in the wrong places for fulfillment. I'm coming forward, and I'm coming forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. And your life can change in a second. It was just a moment in Peter's life that everything changed. I'm putting out a call this morning, I believe, through the Holy Spirit. Will you come? Will you follow? Will you put down your end net? Will you stop going back with things that are a little of no value? Will you come forward? Would you jump and make that leap out of a boat? Would you swim just to be with Jesus? And for them that would come forward, we've got to simply ask, because this is nothing on man, that God would fill you, his Holy Spirit, the agent for Christ that opens up the door and possibilities. And the devil will tell you, you will never be anything apart from what you already are and was. But the Holy Spirit comes to confirm that Christ opens up a hell new door, a hell new calling, a new avenue of miracles, a new avenue of freedom in the Holy Spirit, a new avenue of dancing. Some of you have lost your song. You used to burst forth in song, and it was glory, and it was precious, and it was between you and the Lord. And you'd get up in the morning and sing. But this morning, you're in a dry place, and you've been back fishing in the wrong places, and you've lost your song. And God wants to give you your song back. God wants to give you your joy back. God wants to give you your melody back. Says that Jesus turned up in the dawning of a new day. And this could be a dawning of a new day in your life. Maybe you've never seen something like this before. We simply ask that the Holy Spirit would come. If people want to respond, they're free to come forward and respond. This is not for my ego if nobody comes forward. I've still had a good morning. I've still preached what I felt that God wanted me to say. If you feel as though you need to do business with God, you need to repent, put the past behind you and move forward, and as we worship, come forward. And so Jesus, Holy Spirit, reveal to us how empty our lives are, how empty the world and all its pleasures really are, and reveal to us the majesty and brilliance of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Reveal to us the preciousness that you have everything prepared. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That you've got joy in the Holy Ghost prepared. You've got the righteousness, the holiness, the steadfastness, already prepared. You've got the peace that surpasses our understanding, already prepared. And may you lead us to Jesus Christ, and may we go for here. We are calling reignited. We are sense of purpose reignited. Gone in the love of Christ to impact this nation for Jesus Christ. We sensitively say, Holy Spirit, would you come as you want? Come as a lion that roars, come as a dove that is gentle. But Holy Spirit, would you be found and revered and feared and acknowledged in this place? In Jesus' name, amen. So it's simple. If somebody wants to respond, please come forward.